Well, good Sunday to you all. I knew to start off by apologizing. It's been foremost on my thoughts, my personal schedule, and I've failed to communicate to all of you. Many of you know, last year I went to Vietnam to help train pastors through Crosstalk Global. I will be going again this year. This year it's a month earlier, so I'm leaving on the 27th of May. That's coming up quick. And I just haven't communicated that with all of you, and I apologize. So it's going to be great though while I'm gone, because we've worked out a number of wonderful people to guest speak for us. Pastor Tim Patterson, who's our state executive officer. So he's the top of the state. He's coming. He actually rearranged his schedule to come here several times. I kept getting calls from his personal secretary saying, oh, you know, we're trying to make this work and we're working that. I'm like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. No, he's trying to change his flights and everything so he can be there to preach. So I was like, well, okay, cool. I don't know who we are, but great. Great to have him here. So he'll be preaching the first week I'm gone. And then Don Broker, our director of missions, will be energetically returning. And then to clean up that whole wonderful hitting line, Pastor Bruce will be preaching. I will be back that last week, but I'll have just gotten off the plane and won't know my own name. So Pastor Bruce will be preaching that week. So it's going to be a great. It's going to be great while I'm gone. And you guys are going to be blessed with a lot of talented, wonderful, godly men. So that's going to be good. The other thing I wanted to mention, Scott mentioned it too, was this is the last week you have your deacon questionnaire in here. Please, by all means, fill this out and let us know. This is incredibly important, and you can put it in the back basket now. I would even say for the next couple days, if you forget to fill it out or you want to be prayerful about it, bring it back like Tuesday or Wednesday, call into the church office, whatever. It won't be anonymous at that point. But drop it off. It's that important. My hope is that we will have deacons in place by fall. So that's my plan. I don't know what God's plans are. They're rarely ever mine. So that's what we're going to be doing there. Before we jump into the text, I wanted to mention today is Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate. So last week was the last week of Easter. You didn't know, but it was. And this is Pentecost, where we celebrate God the Holy Spirit coming down and indwelling all believers. And so if you are a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. He leads you, He guides you, He directs you. It is an amazing thing. They did not have that in the Old Testament. Sometimes the Spirit of God worked through people and never left, and sometimes He wasn't there. So now it is an amazing opportunity. As believers in Christ, God the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and so we celebrate that. And as Kristen pointed out this morning, God the Holy Spirit brought fire from heaven. So who brought the snow? It was too good of a joke to not throw up there. And hey, symbolically, we will light the cross that we've colored red, which is usually the color historically associated with the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to use one of those red chairback Bibles. They're queued up for the most part. If you're not around a red chairback Bible, throw up a hand. We'll make sure one gets to you safely and securely. And as always, if you don't own a Bible and you'd like a Bible, feel free to take one of those red chairback Bibles home with you. Read it. Put your name in it. It's our gift to you. We want you to get into the Word of God and the Word of God to get into you. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you that you have given us the wonderful gift of God the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to lead us, to guide us. I was blessed by Pastor Bruce this morning, who even in his prayers shared and thanked you for guiding us even in our sinfulness and even in our mistakes. There your grace is. So we ask for your grace to cover us. Help us to love each other. Help us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I pray, Lord, that I will decrease and Jesus will increase. I pray that your word will be heard and understood. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, you will come and transform us. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Most people, it takes a long time to figure out what they're good at. Their talents, their abilities, their gifts, like mathematics or public speaking. This young man named Gareth, not true. He was born with a guitar in his hand. From a young age, he just was able to pick up an instrument and understood how it worked. He would go to school and he would be teaching his teachers what was happening. He'd be in choirs and even as a young man in elementary school, junior high, high school, he'd be throwing out parts. It's an incredible thing. So when he became an adult, he knew what he knew, what he knew what he was going to do. He was going to do music. He was going to pursue music. So he got a job at a coffee shop, and he rented a very small, modest apartment. Didn't cost much. And he ate very, well, he ate bologna and macaroni and cheese. He saved up as much money as he could. In the day, he would work hard, and at night, he would go, and he would play all throughout town and all throughout the area, wherever he could get a show. And so he saved up all of his money. He had a junker car. It was just, you know, it was one of those prayer cars, you know, where you just pray that it stays together. And he would play and play and play. He saved his money, saved his money, saved his money, until finally he could afford to pay one of his friends who kind of produced music on the side for a demo. And so that he could send that to record companies and hopefully get noticed. And so as he cuts this demo, his friend said, "I know the perfect company that's looking just for your sound. We'll send it out to them first." So a month goes by. He hears nothing. 2 months go by, he hears nothing. So then he starts sending out the music to other companies. He hears nothing. So he keeps working, he keeps trying, he keeps going hard, and as he's talked to some of his other artist friends, he's listening to his demo, he's like, you know, this is garbage. This doesn't sound what it should sound like. This doesn't sound professional. It sounds like we made it in a garage. What I really need to do is I need to make a professionally produced EP, an extended play single. I need to have like 4 songs that are crisp, clear, and great. So he looks into how much this thing's going to cost. And it's incredibly expensive. But he knows if he's going to pursue music, what does he got to do? He's got to be all in. So how's he going to make the money to pay for this thing to be produced? Well, he's been amassing instruments throughout his entire life, birthday presents, Christmas presents. And he decides he has to pawn them off. He has to sell them in order to afford them. So he sells everything. Everything gone. Except for his guitar. So he works on this EP, and it's awesome. It's amazing. It sounds great. And you know what? He sends it out, and this brand new upstart production company picks it up like that, signs him to a 5-year contract, 3 albums. Whoa, this is awesome. In the first week, it sells 5,000 copies. Whoa, that's awesome. But then the company folds before he can even get a reimbursement check. It's all wiped out. Gotta be kidding me. What would you do at this point if you're Gareth? I've tried. I've got this talent. I'm not good at anything else. What do you do at this point? Give up, quit, go home, find another job. But he says, no, I can't do that. So he keeps working his coffee shop job. He keeps trying to save money. He keeps trying to make a go at it. And finally, one of his friends says, you know what? Record companies, they're not looking for solo acts anymore. What they're looking for is they want bands. They want people with bands already. So how can you put together a band? You know, he realizes, and he's been kind of in the music industry. He's like, if I want a good band, I'm going to have to pay them. And that costs money that I don't have. What am I going to do? So he sells his junker car. He moves out of his apartment and moves into a place like the Whiting Hotel. And he uses public transportation to and from everything. Hires a band. He's got a drummer. Drummer's awesome. He's got a bass player. Bass player's awesome. You know, he's got also 4 group of guys. They're just amazing. And they have gigs all over the place. It's great. Things are going well. There's a record company calls him up, mid-sized record company, and says, "Hey, we love your sound. We want to cut. We want to do a contract with you, but we want to do it right. We're not like the fly-by-night company before. We want to do this right. So we're gonna. You stay with us. We'll stay with you, and we'll get something worked out, right?" And so they call at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, for a month, and they say, "Hey, hang in there. Don't go anywhere else. We're with you." 2 months, 3 months, every week they're calling them. They're like, "Hey, we're almost. We're close. We're close. We're close." 4 months comes by, and the drummer says, "You know, guys, I've got to make real money," and so he takes a job down in Florida. And then as soon as he does that, the bass player says, you know what, my father-in-law has a construction company, and I need to make money too, so I'm going to go join that. The band breaks up, and the record company stops calling. What would you do now if you were Gareth? You have been financially ruined by music. You have been publicly humiliated over and over and over again. You are living in a slum. You don't even have a car to drive around. Anything you've ever had in your life, you've sold. Just give up, right? Maybe check in with your friend's father-in-law, see if he's got a job for the construction company. At least then you have something to show for all the work. You got some money in the bank. Or you can actually live in a place that you're not concerned about your physical safety every day. What do you do? Gareth decides to continue forward. Continues to start playing around town and singing and doing music. And finally, out of nowhere, a record company, one of the largest ones, calls him up and says, we want to offer you a deal. They fly him out immediately. They heard his solo EP that he put out some time ago. It's years now. And they say, we love what it is. Let's sign you. They sign him, and almost overnight, they pay to have singles of his put throughout Starbucks all throughout the country with free iTunes download cards. And all of a sudden, everyone knows who he is. He's an overnight sensation, and his influence is incredible as a musician. Now, that story was 100% made up, but 100% true. Jesus told a similar parable. Jesus told a very similar parable. The only reason I decided to change it a little bit and tell you a different story is because the parables are the greatest, amongst the greatest stories ever in the Bible, period, but ever told. They really are. They're brilliant. The problem with them is we all know the punchline. We all know how they end. So it's like watching Twilight Zone episodes, some of the greatest television ever made, right? But when you're watching the Twilight Zone, you're like, oh, I know the deli counter guy. He's really an alien. I figured it out, right? You know, or you're watching, you're like, oh, there really was a gremlin on the plane, William Shatner. Ah, you can't fool me, right? It's not, you've lost the, oh, I know that guy's really, the kid is really the evil one there. I figured it out. You've lost something in the rerun. So you've heard him so many times. But Jesus' parable, like my parable, is telling us that we've all, as Christians, been called to do something. And we've all been called to do one thing. And it's not music. It's not politics. It's not entertainment. It's not art. All of us Christians have been called to share the gospel. We've been all called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share and to say that the God of the universe came down in human flesh. Jesus walked the perfect life you and I can't live. He died the death you and I deserve, separation from God. He rose again, and if you believe in him, repent and believe, you will have eternal life. And so we know that that's what we're called to do, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what happens? We don't do it. Why? Because most of us have. You've done it once, you've done it twice, you get shot down over and over again. Jesus told this story in a much more concise and a much better way in Matthew chapter 13, starting verse 1. Read along with me. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky ground, where there wasn't much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, and they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. Still others fell on good ground and produced a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Anyone who has ears should listen. In this story, you are the sower. You're going around, you have the gospel seed in your hand, you're spreading it around. But we give up, don't we? I know I do. Over and over and over again, I've got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got to talk about repent and believe, and you can have a renewed life with God, not just in heaven, although that's there too, but now in this life, I can have a transformed life. But we don't do it. We don't do it. Now, what's interesting is you'd imagine, why is Jesus talking in a story? Why did I spend so much time in the opening part of the sermon telling you a story? By the way, Jesus' story is 100% made up and 100% true, because he's talking about deeper spiritual things. But he doesn't give the meaning. Why? Verse 10, he kind of veils the reason. Verse 10, then the disciples came up and asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered them, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given for them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. For this reason, I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you will listen and listen, yet never understand. And you will look and look, yet never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would cure them. But your eyes are blessed because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. For I assure you, many prophets and righteous people long to see the things you see, yet didn't see them, to hear the things you hear, yet didn't hear them. Now, I know on the face of it, us Americans go, that's not fair, what are you saying? You're like, I'm going to talk plainly to some people and not others. You got to come at it from an Eastern standpoint, right? In the West, in America, how do you learn how to make a boat? I'll tell you how you learn how to make a boat. You go on YouTube and you say, how do I make a boat? And some guy or gal has put a video together on how to make a boat, right? I've fixed half the house that way. It's fantastic. Okay, let's make a better boat, though. So what do? You go to school, or you go to a class, or you go to a long weekend seminar where they teach you and train you how to make a boat, right? And then as you learn all of the tools and all the stuff that you have to do, then you go and make a boat, right? That's entirely backwards to an Eastern culture, which is what Judaism is, and where Jesus is in Israel right now. It's totally backwards. How do they do it? How do they do it? The dad takes an axe, says to the kid, shut your mouth and follow me, right? Kid follows him out to the woods, find a tree, starts chopping it down. The kid starts talking. Nah, da, 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 da. Shut your mouth and watch. Chops the tree down, chops another tree down, whatever. They make the boat. They take the boat. The kid doesn't say a word. They make the whole thing. They go out into the water. They come back. Father hands the kid an axe and says, here, now you do it. So now the kid can talk. Now the kid goes, oh, okay, so how do I know what kind of tree to chop down? No, you don't want this one, you want that one. Well, how do I know what kind of cuts to make? And the conversation continues on. Now they understand what's happening here. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm speaking in parables. I'm saying, okay, be quiet. I'm going to tell you what the kingdom of heaven is. Just watch. Just listen. Just experience it. Okay, I got the whole story. I don't understand it. Jesus will explain it to me. So those who come back to him and say, I don't understand what are you talking about? Now he explains to you. Now he says, but for those who are like, well, that was weird and Jesus is crazy. I don't want anything to do with that Jesus guy. He says it's close to you because you're not willing to go talk to the master. But why should we share the gospel? Why should we persistently share the gospel? As we are in this, we're told to do in this story of the sower. Verse 18, Jesus gives the reason to the people who come and ask him. Teach us what this parable is about. You then, listen to the parable of the sower. By the way, there's a lot of people who comment on this, and you've probably heard all of this stuff, and they're like, well, really the focus is on the four soils, and you should have your heart to be ready to be the soil to receive Jesus, or something like that. I disagree with, they say the focus isn't the sower. The sower is not the main character, except that Jesus, they disagree with Jesus, because it says, verse 18, you then, listen to the parable of the soils. No, it says sower. You're the farmer. The focus is on the farmer. So I'm going to agree with Jesus, if that's okay with everybody else. That was really obnoxious for me to say. I'm sorry. So you then, listen to the parable of the sower. Listen to the parable about the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but it is short-lived. When pressures or persecution comes because of the world, immediately he stumbles. Now, the one sown among the thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the seduction of wealth choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does bear fruit and yields some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. This is the parable of the sower. You go out and you spread the gospel and you share the gospel in word and deed with people. You share with them that God loves you, He cares for you. Repent and believe in the good news. And what happens? You share it once, twice, three, four, five times, and most of the time it gets shot down. Or someone comes to church and you're like, great, they finally came to church. And then the pastor screws it all up and you're like, no, don't say that. I mean, you said exactly what was in the Bible, but don't say that. And they hear it and they're like, I don't want anything to do with this. Or there's others who hear it and they're in church. They become part of it. And I could tell you personal stories of this. And they go into church leadership. And then suddenly they're in like this large church and all sorts of money is thrown at them and they have building projects and everything. And they seem successful on the outside, but all of a sudden their ministry has become about their own glory and their own name and their own fame instead of the glory and fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. The focus has shifted. They seem to be doing externally good, but there's no fruit. And so we look at this and we're like, oh, this doesn't work. I give up. I can't possibly do this. Can't share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's too hard. It is hard. It's impossible. Because according to this, 3/4 of the time that you share the gospel, it will fail. And even when you're like, oh, great, they're going to come to church. You know, you invite someone to church. You invite them to church and they're there 2, 3, 4 weeks and then they're gone. Or they're there and then they blow up. Or they're there and they're there for the wrong reasons. So you're dissuaded. You're like, oh, I've obviously failed. I failed as a Christian. No. The parable of the sower tells us to persist. Why should we continue to spread the gospel? Why should we continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? We should continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ because God will cause abundant growth. Look at that last section here. Look at that last section. Verse 23, he says, the one who hears and understands the word, that's the good soil, who does bear fruit and yield some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. How many of you have dead tulips right now? Right? You take a tulip bulb and we do right out, well, they're daffodils, but close enough. I'm a guy. I'm not a gardener. Guys can be gardeners, but I'm a guy who's also not a gardener. You take a tulip bulb and you put it in the ground and how many tulips come up? One, if you're lucky, maybe two. Someone was telling me yesterday. Not many. Do you put one in the ground and have 30, 60, 100 of what you put in? No. Wouldn't that be great? If that was the case, I would be a gardener. And I wouldn't care about the snow. I'm like, psh, I'll just put another one in. Wow, I'm done. Whole field of tulips. Fantastic. So what's happening there? What's happening is God is blessing the work to those who are continuing to spread the seed, to those who are continuing to talk to their friends and their neighbors and their family members and their coworkers and their enemies to say, yes, there is a God who died for you. And He took your penalty for sin on the cross. And He rose again. Whosoever would believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Your sins can be forgiven. All you have to do is ask. We all need it. And then you will be transformed. God the Holy Spirit will come and dwell within you. You will never be alone again. And when King Jesus does come, He will welcome you into His kingdom. 3/4 of the time, at the very least, you will get shot down, you will get mocked, you will get ridiculed. Just like in my parable and just like in Jesus' parable, we need to be persistent. Why should you share the gospel? You should share the gospel because God will abundantly bless your efforts. You will only fail if you stop. You will only fail if you stop. Let's pray. Father God, we cannot do this on our own. We cannot endure the difficulties, the heartache, the ridicule to share your gospel and spread your word. It hurts, Lord. It is difficult. And yet you've called us to do it. You've called us as believers to spread your gospel. And so, Lord, we realize that we can't do it. So, God, the Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would enable this congregation. Not that we would feel a false sense of guilt. Oh, I've got to do that. Not that we would try and muster up our own willpower and try to invent the perfect circumstance. But, Lord, that we will ask you in prayer to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, God, the Holy Spirit, you'll bring us opportunities. And when we open our mouth, your words will be on our lips. We can't do this on our own. So, Holy Spirit, come. Give us courage. Give us strength. Give us boldness so that we can spread the name of Jesus to those we come in contact with. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.